Hey everyone, it's May 22nd, Sunday, the Lord's Day, and it is the day after Judgment Day. Are you still alive? Well, come aboard the Faith Talks Live Prayer Train. This is Dr. Cheryl. Enjoy.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Seek the Lord, and you will find him. This is SEEK, Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts.
Resting place.
The following is a reading from Matthew 24, verse 36 through 44, the unknown day and hour. But of that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this, if the master of a house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you all must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come.
We just thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, and the new NIV version says, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Jesus doesn't even know when he's going to return, because he's not the just judge. He is the all merciful and he's the compassionate, and he's redeemer. Okay, it's all about the work of redemption. We're still in the season of redemption, and so before we go further into this, we're going to just play a little Misty Edwards.
Time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. And time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. As in the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah, though we're drinking, marrying, laughing. As in the days of Noah, what a fool they say to build a boat on sand. What a fool they say. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. As in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. And what a fool they say to fast and pray. And what a fool they say, come on, it's been 2,000 years. Do you really think that he's coming? Come on, let's just get real. But remember this first, that many, many, many scoffers will come. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late. It's too late. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late. It's too late. As in the days of Noah, it's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. The 1 day, 2 days, 3 days gone by, and time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. People get ready, Jesus is coming. And many, 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 many scoffers will rise in that day, and they'll say, it's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained
Yes, and when the rain starts falling, it's too late. And these are the prophetic words sung by Misty Edwards, worshiper, lead worshiper, over to International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Missouri. And again, the title, the name of this was In the Days of Noah, from Matthew 24. Anyways, I'm Dr. Shirley Caniff, and this is my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff. We figured we would start the show, you know, with the message going forward, because the message is more important than the messenger and the messengers, right? Honey, you want, before I go further, you want to say hi to everybody so they know you're here?
Hi, guys.
Yeah. And so anyways, we are on May 22nd, Sunday. At approximately 12:15 p.m., and it's the day after Judgment Day, the alleged Judgment Day of May 21st, 2011, and we are still standing. We are going to definitely look at scriptures surrounding the alleged, I mean, not alleged, but the coming of the Son of Man. We've already unpacked Matthew 24, and so for the edification of the body, the purpose of that, we want to just really delve into scripture and use that as a basis to encourage everyone that we are living on borrowed time. You know, the rapture, as was alleged, as allegedly prophesied by, you know, a group of people, did not happen, but it doesn't mean that the rapture won't happen, or a kind of rapture. And I say a kind of rapture because when we come before the Lord with thanksgiving in our heart and we come worshiping, you know, there's a part that elevates us, or in some circles they call it ascent. We ascending to in the spirit, to the, you know, in a greater a greater anointing, and His presence envelops us, and we get caught up. There's different degrees and different levels of catching up, but in this context of the May 21st message, okay, where I wasn't even aware of this, I can tell you that I saw billboards and I thought it was a movie, the way that they had it advertised. But from what I understand, that there are people that were so zealous regarding this man's message, even though this man had a history of not getting it right, because no one knows the time. No one knows the hour of the coming of the Son of Man, nor the angels, like Matthew 24 said, nor Jesus Himself. Only the Father knows. Okay? And so, the little hint there is that when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, all of Israel be saved, but even then, the end is not come. That is part of what has to happen. And we're, you know, coming upon that season right now. But many people have always felt over times past that they could, you know, be such a spokesperson for the Lord that they actually become God themselves. You know, they put themselves in a place of judge over humanity. And the Lord sent, Father God sent Jesus, His Son Jesus, into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it. And so, you know, the Lord Jesus prophesied to His disciples about these last days, and says quite plainly, in you know, because they were so concerned about the last days, what would be the signs of the end of the age? Okay, and I will read this, and then my husband's going to talk to you more about what the message was and what the Lord wants us to derive from this. We're, you know, there's to every side, there's two sides to every coin, and the Lord definitely doesn't want us to take His second coming lightly. He wants us to always be ready, but He also wants us to be sober, He wants us to be vigilant, He wants us to be as wise as serpents, and He wants us to be in position to bring the kingdom of God to the earth, okay? And we have to all be about our Father's business. All right, so Matthew 24, verses 1 through, I'll just read it all the way, 1 through 35. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when His disciples came up to Him to call His attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" He asked. "I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith, and there will be a great apostasy, and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Because they're not turning to Jesus, they turn into fear. And see, Jesus is perfect love, and He casts out all fear. And many, but if you don't turn to Jesus in this time of great calamity and ask for an increase of love, we are going to always persist in fear. And that is not the way of the gospel. That's not the way of the Lord. Okay. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world. So that has to happen as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, "There he is out in the desert," do not go out, or "Here he is in the inner rooms," do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, which is a body, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door, says the Lord. And I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And so we have it right there, folks. Several things have to happen and come into play, and we've only there's only a few that have actually come to play, and that for the most part is that there will be wars and rumors of wars, and the kingdom is beginning to be preached to the four corners of the earth, and Israel's about ready to be saved, but there's birth pangs. We are in the season of birth pangs. So Jeff, what was the message? You know, like what was my husband was kind of studying it this week and looking at the website and can you tell us more about what was transpiring and what you know the rigmarole was all about and
Well, I believe that yes, there will be a judgment day, and I believe that the Lord will come again for that day, but as Scripture says, no one knows the hour or the day except the Father. And I was reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, and this is what the saints should be doing to prepare for that day, no matter whether it appears in your lifetime or your children's lifetime or your great-great-grandchildren's lifetime. And Paul is talking to Timothy, and he sets it up and says, in a large household there are vessels not only of gold and silver, but of wood and clay, some for lofty and other for humble use. If anyone cleanses himself of these things, he will be a vessel for lofty use, dedicated, beneficial to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Now he's going into explaining what those things were. So turn from youthful desire and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord with purity of heart. Avoid foolish and arrogant debate, for you know that they breed quarrels. A slave of the Lord should not quarrel, but should be gentle with everyone, able to teach, tolerant, correcting opponents with kindness. It may be that God will grant them repentance that leads to knowledge of the truth, and that they may return to their senses out of the devil's snare, where they are entrapped by him for his will.
Wow. And
to me, there's a need for ongoing transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two categories. You know, what is this rooted in? What's the motivation for such a reaction? I really applaud those 500 people who took their faith seriously enough, and I hereby challenge them to forgive to forgive. Because right now, you need to process what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The ending comes, but Jesus still loves you and everybody around you who heard this message. Jesus didn't change. The position of man changed. And that's always a possibility, and it was a possibility in the days of Paul that people were getting misleading, and Paul got very strict with them on it, and exhorted the church to be careful.
You know, that reminds me about the misleading scripture about the shepherd and his flock. If you can all flip open flip your Bibles open to John 10 in the New Testament. Jesus explains it right here about the shepherd and the hired hand. Okay, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow the voice of a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. What is he stealing and killing and destroying? Your soul, okay? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, and that can only be in the Spirit. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, because of his nature, because of his human nature, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Okay? Then the wolf attacks the flock, okay, after the hired hand has run away, and scatters it. That's how the enemy comes on in there. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord in my own free will. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So this is what the Lord wants to do in this situation. He wants to open your eyes and see that, you know, that men do make mistakes. It says in the scriptures that we only prophesy by part. And was that in 1 Corinthians 12? That we only prophesy. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. And we only prophesy in part because we are made of the spirit and the flesh, and our flesh is constantly dying, but there's a constant war going on. So when the Holy Spirit collides with our spirit, and we still have the soulish realm that we have to deal with, you know, this collision causes us to even not have our full attention like we should. It depends on, you know, what our mood is for the day. I mean, we're very moody people. There's so much stress too of daily living already in this earth's atmosphere. So we have all those things coming at us, and so it's really hard at times to get the purified word of revelation from the Father, because we may not have the full focus, and so that's when human error can come on in there. And especially when you're dealing with anything that you think you can measure. You can never measure anything. You can never measure the things of the spirit with mathematics, or they try. Mathematicians have always tried, and it's or by formulas, okay, because that would be likened to spiritual alchemy, you just can't measure the things of the spirit. The only measure of the things of the spirit, you can't measure it by physical means, is the intention of a man's heart towards the things of the spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and things like that. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, we have to really pray for this particular individual who, released this and got everybody so excited because of a certain formula that he felt that the Lord had given him. But maybe it was just intended, you know, to, I don't know, just intended as an experiment. I don't know. You know, we definitely know that was not definitely of the Lord. But what is of the Lord is that we need to be ready. We always need to be ready. If any lesson can be gleaned from this, can be learned from this, is that we need to be ready, because we do not know the hour. Not even the angels, not even Jesus himself, the Son of God. He does not know the hour of his return. Okay? So that's why, because the Father, as our Father is extending his arms of mercy through Jesus, through his life, for this generation, because we need it. And the measure of mercy that we show to others will be shown back to us. So my prayer is that the Lord will continually extend his arms of mercy to this generation who needs it so greatly, and that we will come to know the risen Lord and Savior as the Redeemer of the world and lover of our souls. You know, we cannot run away from what we are called to do in this time. We are alive for such a time as this, as I've heard a well-known prophetic evangelist from Streams Ministry say. We have been appointed for such a time as this. God has put us in the right place. He's chosen the place that we should live and things like that. So I just want to look at the beginning of 2 Timothy 2:1, and then we'll take a break and go to a song, and then we'll come back and wrap this up. Okay. I have some witness and testimonies as to, you know, what the Lord had shown me regarding. He actually spoke to me prior to this past Saturday regarding this particular situation, and I wasn't fully aware of it because I wasn't paying attention to it, because it wasn't from the Lord. So, but the message was loud and clear, actually. So let's go back to 2 Timothy 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Now, I just want to say, I'm going to insert the message that I heard the Lord say about this time last weekend on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. In the wee hours of the morning, early morning hours, the Lord apprehended me and spoke into my spirit audibly within my spirit. Usually he whispers in me, you know, to me, or I can hear, you know, I can, you know, in my thoughts, actually see on the screen of my mind the words that he wants to share with me, and also sometimes it's accompanied by vision, or maybe even dreams. So from what I'm about ready to say, it matches up with 2 Timothy 2:3. The Lord had told me that he's looking for reliable witnesses. And I thought, you know, I started getting on the pride kick, and I thought, Lord, you mean you're not, I'm not reliable? But then I thought about the body of Christ, and I thought about the, you know, how lots of times we have been guilty as a body, okay, of misrepresenting the kingdom of God and misrepresenting God himself and Jesus. And this piece of Holy Spirit's heart. And that, you know, that's what I was getting all last week. And thank God the Lord moved through a prophetic teacher, Lauren Sanford from New Song Ministries. On 520, I went to a status update on in the news feed of Facebook, and I couldn't help but be drawn to his status. He indicated that he was feeling a kind of prophetic sadness, but couldn't figure out what it was. There's a tinge of excitement in it as well, because he knows that God was about ready to do some big things with New Song, his ministry. And then at the same time, he's thinking sadness, because it may be related to the damage that was being done to the Christian credibility by this rapture thing predicted for, obviously, for Saturday, May 21st. And that it's getting so much press. I mean, I was at Dunkin' Donuts getting a nice tea on that day, and I couldn't believe what I saw. I saw somebody with the shirt. You know, I think he was one of the people. It was the same thing that I saw on the billboard. And it was getting on his motorcycle, and he had a big, like, poster board written on his motorcycle about Judgment Day, May 21st. Are you ready to meet the Lord? And these are all good questions, but, you know, it really, because it's a question that, you know, if an atheist or somebody that was cynical got a hold of this person, they could, you know, really do them injustice, and especially if nobody, you know, if these things, terrible things like they were saying, cataclysmic event, earthquake, and it's almost like the other side of it is that people want to see this happen, they want to see the gore, they want to see the guts, and I think that that's just definitely grieving the Lord, because he's all about life, he's all about releasing it and giving it to us abundantly. And we have to be responsible with what he gives us, okay? My reply to, and I'll go to Jeff right afterwards, and then we'll take a break. My reply was, I was also feeling that sense of loss, that there was something being weighed in the balances of heaven. And my other response was, we ought to come against this in the Holy Spirit. Take authority, because all this negativity and all this fear mongering, could paralyze a move of the Holy Spirit and God's people, the true move of the Holy Spirit. Either way, lives will be affected by the words of one man's mouth. So sad. And so, we also have to have mercy on him, because he's 84 years old, and, you know, I cannot come to appreciate what kind of generation he came from, but I'm sure that, you know, it might have had a lot to do with Charles Finney, and he's a wonderful theologian, but very extreme in his expression of the things of the Holy Spirit, and sinners in hands of an angry God, I guess that was one of the things he wrote. And so, you know, even though the Lord can be angry at times, he's very, 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 very slow to anger, but he's very rich in compassion.
Amen.
Jeff? Yes.
Amen. And for anybody who was suffering out of fear during this anticipated end time, I ask you to pray. I don't remember where the reference is, but it's in the New Testament letters, where I think it's St. Paul says, the one who fears is not yet perfected in love, for perfect love casts out all fear. And the Lord was showing me that what believers need to pray for, all believers, is increase of love and hope. Love is the foundation stone. Hope keeps us going when we need to see tomorrow, when we're trying to live one day at a time and move in tomorrow, when we're promised resistance. We're promised resistance from inside of ourselves, outside of ourselves, in the world, from the spiritual world, and we need to exercise faith, hope, and love, the Corinthian virtues, faith, hope, and love. And the reason why these are considered primary virtues is because each of these originates from the Father. And faith, hope, and love, they need to be found in all of us in an ongoing balance. We need to struggle to keep it balanced because God loves the world. And we need to do proper scripture study. Like in Joel 2, starting at verse 1, and going through that chapter, if you only read half of the chapter, and you're a fear-based person who hasn't received his full healing from all those fears, that scripture can really, grab your imagination, and you forget about the second half, where God is expressing his mercy and saying, come back to me, and so on and so forth. And, God, it seems like the Holy Spirit through the prophet Joel is balancing these things. Mm-hmm. Yes, these things will happen in every generation. Yes, there's an appointed end of days where a final judgment will come. But God in his mercy, for the sake of those who have yet to be totally healed out of their fear bondages, didn't tell us when. Didn't on purpose let us not know that. Mm-hmm. Our responsibility is to live for Jesus here and now, in every moment of every day. Instead of thinking about him coming in the future and getting maybe a little heady with it and neglecting the fact that the people around us need us.
Mm-hmm.
Our family needs us, the neighbors, mm-hmm. the people we work with around at work need us to be light, to be an example, to be positive. When Jesus comes, then we'll attain the perfection of our faith. But until then, we're going to be prone to fall into our weaknesses. And I know I have many, and I don't put any judgment on anybody, because I know what God's mercy tastes like, and I would rather commend you to the mercy of God and ask you to reach out and take mercy rather than focus on the judgment.
And we can, that's not where the Lord wants us to live. He does not want us to live in the judgment. Although land judgments may be happening around us, that's because he's dealing with the powers and principalities in the air, okay, and the rulers of this world of darkness. This collision of the kingdom of God and the empire of darkness. But I wanted to go to Joel 2 to confirm what we were just saying about why the Lord is slow to move and just come to, destroy. He didn't come to... First of all, Jesus didn't come to destroy. He came to redeem. And because Jesus willed through the love of the Father to come to live among us and to die for us and to be resurrected and give us new life, everlasting life in the resurrection, that the Father looked upon that with great pleasure and delight and gave the reins to Jesus in the work of redemption. It just didn't end on the cross. It continues, and it's, there's a purpose in it for now. So the Lord doesn't want to stop that process, because he also, your Father God, wants his children to come to him. It says right here, he wants our hearts. Rend your heart. See, Jesus wants to redeem our souls so that we can turn our hearts to the Lord. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your hearts. He wants a heart. With fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents, again, he relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. So that is that in a nutshell. We're now going to go into a song.
You're always on my mind, with my heart.
while we were still sinners. See how much love the Father has shown us, that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. And what did he die for us to destroy? The powers and manipulations that lead us into sin and darkness and death. And Jesus also did these same things with the purpose of restoration. The restoration of our relationship with the Father. The restoration of our relationship with creation. Free from the power of sin and under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Freedom from sin. Freedom from the power of death. And Jesus, it's the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the sending of the Holy Spirit that complete the process. We can never forget the cross. You have to always go back to the cross. You have a struggle that you're trying to overcome, go back to the cross. Nail it to the cross. Keep nailing it to the cross until you become an overcomer on that particular issue. And when the next one comes up, you do the same thing. You always go to the cross with a view of the resurrection. Jesus went to the cross knowing that he would be resurrected from the dead.
Amen. And I got this other part to Timothy that confirms what Jeff was saying. And so as soldiers in Christ, we have to endure hardship like a good soldier. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. And this is what Apostle Paul is saying. This is what I'm saying. Remember, Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is the gospel for which we are suffering, for which Paul has suffered, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, and we should too, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying, and I'm going to leave this with you. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So, I want to go back here. If we endure, he will also reign. We will also reign with him. So we need to be about enduring with the Father while we're on this side of glory, and not always look for that way out, that exit strategy. From what I hear, I was listening to Kim Clement yesterday. I was watching him on the den and worshiping with him. And from what I heard that there was someone that he, parents were very concerned about one of their sons hearing this message about May 21st. And it really, really, did some psychological work upon him, and to the point that they thought he's going to commit suicide, and so this is it's the method of delivery, and also the lack of wisdom is what I was very concerned about with this message, and it was given in a careless manner, and in the way that the knowledge or the alleged information was released was coming from something that was derived from an unscriptural way of interpreting scripture. So we really need to be careful. We need to be all about the Father's business, and we need to always consult the Holy Spirit, we really need to examine these leaders in their lifestyles more closely, because many are leading the sheep astray. They're only hired men, all right, appointed for you know, just for a season. And we really need to understand this to endure to the end. Okay. It is essential that I address the group of people, and you know who you are, that have leaned towards believing that yesterday, which is May 21st, indeed was the date of the rapture, and may have been very disappointed, not only in the person who named this alleged date to be so, but also in the Lord, because this person supposedly has proclaimed that they are a spokesperson for the Lord, and others have believed that to be the truth. And you know, there, you can still forgive yourself. I mean, you know, there we can be error and stay in error if we don't forgive. And this is a wonderful opportunity to repent, don't you think? And so, you know, whenever I get stuck, I always go to Psalm 51. But Psalm 51, any of the psalms, really addresses the human condition, you know, in our exchange of the content that's in our heart, and how we can convey it to God's heart. So Psalm 51 is a really good psalm for this. It's known in the church as the penitential psalm, and is always often the psalm that many pastors and ministers of the word in the church refer this, you know, to when they are counseling people, believers. Okay, now Psalm 51. Okay, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. See, he's got great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time of my mother's, that my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all of my iniquity. Create within me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. And you know, this is the heart of the Lord. This is how he wants us to come back to him. This is how he wants us to come alongside of our brothers and sisters who may be weak. It's not God's will to, like I said earlier in the broadcast, to come up with an exit strategy. You know, it's not the love of the Father to beam you up, you know, and leave everybody here to suffer the wrath, especially the people who you perceive as evil. Just like God is no respecter of persons, let's face it, folks, evil is no respecter of persons either, okay? If God don't have you, the enemy will definitely devour you. And if you know, especially if you don't have that indication in your spirit, you know, that you are blood bought, okay? And you know, you got to make that commitment. And it's really in these days ahead, the spiritual warfare is going to increase, but we will endure. We will endure because Jesus paid the price for your life through His blood. And you know, He's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, and I'll read a little bit about that in Joel towards the end. And towards the end, we are approaching the end of this broadcast. We will offer a communion so that, you know, the Holy Spirit can come to you in a very special way and bring you to all truth. And you know, He wants, you know, the Father's constantly drawing near to you through the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the earth as our comforter. He promised us that He would do that, and our teacher and our counselor, to bring us into all truth, okay? All truth of what? All truth of the kingdom and things like that. We got some very powerful, we got the kingdom on our side, we got the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on our side, and we got the cloud of witnesses on our side. We got everything. Everybody is on our side, you know, and it's just really awesome. There's more and on heaven's side than there is on the side of the enemy. And you know, all, you know, on heaven's side is just pure goodness, mercy, love, compassion, peace, and you know, long suffering, and you know, all these wonderful gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. Of course, faith. And on the other side. Some people call it the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom is something big and major, but the empire of darkness. I mean, you know, you got sickness, disease, thievery, perversion, lust, and everything that can ruin your soul, you know, and keep you imprisoned, your free will imprisoned so you don't make the choice to go to heaven, because it's all a choice. Anyways, I want to talk about a couple of things just to give you some hope on how the Lord loves to intervene and come into our ordinary circumstances. He doesn't want us to fear, so He'll show up in the dream. He'll release words of comfort and love. That's the extent of His compassion for us. That's the extent of His compassion for you. And so we will pray into that too towards the end. But I want to start off. So many things have happened since you know, the beginning of March throughout the world. Significant things. And I want to start with the Japanese earthquake. You know, when I first was following the story, and I even saw the tsunami coming, and people driving trucks, and where I drive a bus, I'm always on the road, and I'm looking at this wall of water, wipe this truck away. I'm thinking, I hope that person's a Christian. I hope he knows where he's going, you know. And those were my questions, and because it was apparent that he was just not going to, well, whoever they were, they weren't going to survive that. And same thing with you know, the nuclear meltdown and things like that. And so, of course, I brought this matter to prayer, because it was we were observing it on the internet through YouTube, and it was, you know, even when you observe suffering with your eyes and potential calamity, especially if it's real, it really does a number on the psyche, on your spirit. And so I had to bring the matter to the Lord, and I asked the Lord, what is the strategy? What is the exit strategy? Your exit strategy out of this. What's the solution that you have for this disaster for this problem. And definitely multiple in nature, but I was primarily asking him about the nuclear meltdown, the three or four reactors. And I just let it rest after I asked a question, because he's God and he can give me the answer anytime he wants. And I remember going into a dream vision, and next thing you know, I'm looking up into the distance, looking up in space into the distance, if you can imagine that. You know, all of a sudden the Lord ripped open the atmosphere so you can see space, okay? And I saw this white light go into that black hole, you know, and that he opened up. And I asked the Lord, what was that? He said that even though the scientists have reported that the radiation was more, there was more radiation leakage in this disaster than there was Chernobyl. And we all know what casualties happened. I actually did a documentary on that, also put up some YouTube videos under Chernobyl on WSTKI-TV on YouTube. And so anyways, he was showing me that he was sending the most harmful forms of radiation back into space. And he could do that because he's God. He was showing me that the radiation is, like the lesser light, that his glory is greater. So he took the glory and used the glory as a vehicle to transfer the radiation, the most harmful parts, up into the atmosphere. And that's what he's doing. You know, just like Gulf miraculously stopped flowing with oil. Nobody knows where the oil went and things like that. And I'm sure that chemicals were there, but I'm sure that the hand of the Lord guided that process as well. So, never be afraid, especially when you have a personal relationship with the Lord and you're making the Lord save your life, and you're walking intimately with Him. Never be afraid to ask Him. He wants to give you the answers to life's most perplexed questions. So, and the other thing too, the hand of God. When the Lord gave me that revelation last Sunday about that He's calling, He's looking for reliable witnesses. And I began to ask Him, I inquired of Him, what is He talking about regarding reliability? And He's saying, those who don't misrepresent His truth, those who are responsible and devoted to Him and represent His respect the ambassador position. And I thought, wow, that is really, lofty of you, Lord. And then I asked Him, I said, am I one of those people? And if I'm not, I would like to be, okay? I can't always assume that I am, but I can ask, especially when he told me, he went out of his way to tell me about this. And you could do that too, you see? And I didn't really, like I said earlier, comprehend the magnitude of this message and what it could possibly do to erode, possibly and potentially erode the faith of the believers. I actually, months ago, did a seven-part series on the different levels of faith. I think you should go back to them. The Lord walked me through different levels of faith, and it just poured in teaching upon teaching upon teaching about just exactly what that is and how it looks like and how we can ask for that, increased measure of faith. But and to also be able to identify what faith level we are operating in. So I thought that was cool because I learned a lot about faith and what it is, what it does, and how to identify where we are, where we're at. So so about the reliability thing, I began to so I said, well, I'd like to be one of them, and am I? And then he didn't answer me right away, but within 24 hours I had an encounter, a physical encounter with the Lord. I went into the Spirit. I was in seclusion somewhere, and you know, doing my ordinary thing, filling out some forms, and then all of a sudden this sleep comes over me, and I'm saying to myself, I must be either going to sleep or going to Spirit. And I went into Spirit, and as I was going to Spirit, you know, it was just seconds. I felt this hand in my hand, and nobody was in the area that I was at, because I had just dropped my husband off for work, so no male person with a nice strong hand was around me. And all of a sudden he just put his hand in my hand, and it was so firm, it was so manly and so hairy, a little hairy, and he just held on to my hand, and I just felt so comforted, and I felt an assurance go into me, and I felt that he was approving of something. I felt that there was a contract happening, an agreement happening, and all these things are going on, and probably more than what I can even hone in on regarding this encounter experience. And all I could say was, thank you, Lord, for shaking my hand. I really appreciate that. and that was my response. And but you know what it was? I never let go. That's what I wanted to say. I never let go, and he never let go. He melted his hand into my hand. It just melted, and I just woke up. So I knew that the handshake was still there. Nobody let go. And, you know, he had a bell sleeve. I saw a part of his bell sleeve. I love his bell sleeves. They're so stylish. That's why I wear bell sleeves, because the Lord loves them. And so and I was like, wow. Well, the Lord's been really revealing his hand to me in so many ways. Once in the intercession, and the night vision, and another just shaking firm, giving me a firm handshake about you know, reliable witnesses, and maybe teaching on that and some other things regarding that. If I want to encourage all of you that you know, go into King Kmet's website, because he talked about the very same thing we were talking today, but from another perspective. You know, he did a lot of worship, and a lot of people were being set free in the worship. And I had the luxury of entering to rest while I was watching, and watching the broadcast, and I became part of the broadcast in the Spirit, and went into the Spirit, and all of a sudden I'm dancing with the Lord, and the Lord's like, you know, instructed me with, you know, to hold on to Him, and you know, and follow Him in the lead, it was so awesome. And then the warfare music, and it got intense, and King was calling out the miracles and how people's families were being set free. And then my daughter, who just came back to the Lord recently, my older daughter, she was there, and she was in my house at the time that I was having the vision, this experience. I believe I was transported, and all of a sudden she, in the natural, had said bye. I remember hearing that. I was in two places at one time, but in the dream, her spirit stayed, and she called me to come up front. She was like on a stage near the worshipers, and she said, "Mom, I really believe you need to really dance to this. You need to really," and that, because I had sat down after the dance, I danced with the Lord, because he wore me out. And so what happened was, so then I get up, and out from within me leaps my spirit, and I saw my spirit. I saw the transparent, you know, my transparent self, the spirit of me, and I was watching me, like, just go all over the place and dance and turn and these moves that I'd never seen before, done before, and I was having a good time. It was just so awesome. And And I just know that there was some freedom being released, and I was really dancing in the spirit, and God was doing something. He was doing something through that broadcast. So what I would do, I'm going to post that on my Facebook, and feel free to click on that and enjoy the broadcast. It might even catapult you to, you know, you might be transported or translated. Wouldn't that be awesome? And then if you are, tell me about it. I'd love to hear those stories. You know, we have so much to look forward to in the coming days, because, like I said, in one of the other broadcasts where the Lord is sending forth rain in the form of Milky White substance and blue jays in the form of, which means friendship. That's my dream language He gives me, to let me know that His friendship is coming, and it's coming upon His people this year in a special way. And, you know, it says in Joel, when He sends His rain, you know, He's going to pour out His spirit upon our flesh, and your young men and young women will dream dreams, and your old men will see visions. And and it's so awesome that He will do this for His people, because He wants to make Himself known. He wants to pour out His spirit in astronomical proportions. And I'm going to go to Joel 2, verse 28 and onwards. The day of the Lord, okay? Because this is what, you know, this whole thing was about on May 21st. You know, I really believe, you know, this is a prime example of going before the Lord, too much ahead of the Lord, to name a day called the day of the Lord or the rapture or whatever. The day of the Lord. And afterward, okay, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Well, you know what? I want to go back to, because it's very important. The Lord just keeps telling me, go to Joel 2:18, and then it would make more sense about what He's going to do, because there's that and afterward. So let's go back. Sorry about that. This is how we have to really read Scripture. We have to do it in such a way that it will convey understanding. The Lord's answer to Joel for the suffering. Then the Lord will be jealous for His land and take pity on His people. Okay. Matter of fact, let me go back to Rend Your Heart, because that's what this is what it's really all about. Even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, okay? With fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. And we read this earlier, but it's going to go right into the other part here. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger and abounding in great love, and He relents from sending calamity. That's right. Our Lord relents. He turns back from sending calamity. Who knows? He may return and have pity and leave behind a blessing. Grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the assembly. Bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bridal chamber. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. O Lord, please do not do this. Please spare your people of this. We really need to be a reliable witness for this day that you've called us to be a part of, that you called us into being for. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? The Lord's answer. Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. The Lord will reply to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil, okay? Enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. I will drive the northern army far away from you.
pushing it into a parched and barren land, with its front columns going into the eastern sea, and those in the rear into the western sea, and its stench will go up, its smell will rise. Surely he has done great things. Be not afraid, O land. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Be not afraid, O wild animals, for the open pastures are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Be glad, O people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains in righteousness. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. And I just want to just stop right there and continue on in a bit. But as I was reading that, the Lord brought to my mind and heart something that he had declared. He had showed me in the spirit when I was praying with a dear friend of mine who's been a prayer warrior with me for about 20 years. And she's also godmother to my to Joshua, my son, who has a divine hand over him. In the picture, and is also struggling with some autistic symptoms, but God is already entrusted in the hands of the Lord, and God's going to do some wonders, some mighty wonders, and he's already begun to do some, you know, to work with him in power and glory. But anyways, I was praying with my friend Andrea, and all of a sudden I heard audibly again, and you know, in the context of prayer, and there was so much glory. So much glory around. He said, I am ascending, I am turning back the tsunami of evil spirits that have been sent to America. Did you know that a tsunami of evil spirits had been assigned to America within the last couple of months? And the Lord, within the last couple of weeks, it pushed it back by his right hand, and he, you know, and it was that there was things that were going to come upon this land that, you know, apparently the Lord likened it to a tsunami of evil spirit, but he turned it back, and I really believe he did it through those tornadoes, because it could have been those tornadoes all over the place. It just happened to afflict one state, but I just want to pray for the state of Alabama. And that, you, Lord, you would just miraculously restore that region, not only restore it physically, but restore it spiritually, restore your people, and things like that. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I also want to pray for South Carolina. Right when I got that reliability scripture, the reliability witness, I also got, and the people of South Carolina will not die. And I asked the Lord, what was all that about? Is there a calamity coming to South Carolina? He said, no. Well, the greater calamity is always one in the spirit, but there are false shepherds that live in that land that are saying some strange things, and, you know, and advocating some, you know, people to sell all they have and move up to the mountains, according to one of my students from the school ministry. And this person is living high up the hog off the people's money, and is passively saying the same, preaching the same kind of preaching that produced the date of May 21st as Judgment Day. So, as you can see, they're out there, and we just need to be aware of inaccurate, false teachings and some things that produce fear, because if it's from God, it will not produce fear. It will always produce peace. Okay, so I just want to leave that with you, especially when you're a believer and walk in faith and hope and love. Okay, so now we are reaching the end of this. Oh, I want to finish Joel. Yeah, good thing that we need to finish Joel. Okay, and, you know, this is a promise, you know, he wants to pour out a spirit upon all flesh. Okay, yes. The threshing floors will be filled with grain, the vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. See, this kind of restoration delights the Lord. the great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the locust swarm, a great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full, okay, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be put to shame. See, he allows suffering for the night, but then joy comes in the morning, and he delights in a greater way to release joy and to restore his people, because he wants to make himself known. He delights more in making himself known than you give the Lord credit for, okay? He really, because he loves you, he wants to reveal himself to you through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, and the signs and wonders and healing miracles, okay? The day of, and he wants to put you on display before the nations, and so that they could drop their plowshares and embrace him and receive him as Lord and Savior. So, all you need to do is shine, right? Okay, the day of the Lord. And afterward, all right, after all this, after the shaking and after the restoration, I will pour out my spirit on all people, on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. That's the generation. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. So, this, you know, sons and daughters are going to prophesy, and they are beginning to. And your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions, okay? So we're just about coming to that place of the day of the Lord, all right? Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Sounds like a great deal, huh? I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood. And we haven't come to that part yet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. See, it's great for some people, for the believers, but it's dreadful for those who are non-believers. But we're in progress and we're in process. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. From what? That's what I'd like to know. I believe it's deliverance from the evil spirits of affliction, okay? And if you haven't known, the afflictions have been murder, rage, jealousy, envy, just out and out rebellion, spirit of witchcraft, okay? Especially through the spirit of Islam. It says, for on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So there's going to be survivors. It's going to be great deliverance. Okay, doesn't say anything about great rapture, but great, there'll be survivors, but there will be great deliverance. So, we have a lot to look forward to. And I wouldn't check out just about yet. I wouldn't even think about checking out. Don't even think about it. I would say to my kids, if they're about ready to do something I know was really detrimental or bad for them when they were a lot younger, I said, I look at them with those mummy eyes, and I'm like, don't even think about it. They're like, what? And then I would tell them what it was they were thinking about. Okay. So, anyways, I just want to thank you, Jesus. I want to offer up the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and the sins of the whole wide world. It is wild out there. For the sake of the soul, for passion, have mercy on us, O Lord, and on the whole world. So we thank you, Lord, that on the night of your betrayal, you took the bread, you broke it, and you gave thanks. You gave it to the disciples, and you said, take this, all of you, and eat from it. This is my body, which will be broken for you. Do this in memory of me. And likewise, you took the cup of wine, the cup of salvation, and he said, take this cup and drink, for this is my cup, the cup of my blood, which will be given for the life of the world. It will be shed for all sinners. When you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again in glory. So we just thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for your body. Thank you for your blood. Lord, I thank you for your work of redemption for humanity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your redeeming work. Thank you, Jesus. Your cleansing blood, your healing blood. Your blood that brings deliverance. Thank you, Lord. Such a gift is for me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, through spoken word, through deed, through abandonment, through discouragement, through accusation, through misrepresentation. As we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Okay, thank you for listening to Faith Talk Live Prayer. And topic of the show is God bless you. Love you now. Bye bye.
That chastises and brings you comfort. I am in the desert wilderness to be tender with you. I am near to those who have a broken heart. I am your confidence. I am compassion. I am in the Father. I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. I am the refuge of the poor. I am your Father. I am God in the stillness. I am the Lord. He who is joined with me is one spirit with me. I am the spirit of counsel. I am your provider. I am tenderness. I am the true shepherd. I am the dispeller of all fear and doubt. I am interceding for you right now. I am love. I am the staff that retrieves you. I am man's friend who sticks closer than a brother. I am the shepherd's rod. I am God who is with you in the valley of the shadow of death. I am there with you. I am God who strengthens you. I am the candle lighting your path. I am the Lord, precious. In my sight is the death of all my sins. I am the counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. I am your peace and calm. I am he who wipes away your tears. I am the saving refuge of my anointed.